Om Shanti, and welcome back, dear sisters and brothers. And thank you, gentlemen, for making the time to be with us for this much. Actually, I started receiving questions from the first 10 minutes. I mean, 10 minutes of the previous hour. So I tried actually to put them together because some of them are kind of connected. So I will read every two or three questions together. So the first group of questions, the first one said, when the soul leaves the body, will it take another body? And if yes, what about Brahma Baba? And the other question said, when the soul left the body, the soul in another body, another family, another country, maybe, why some know every single part of their previous birth and others don't know anything about their past birth? And the other one says, when we take another body, do we start from zero or we take something from our previous birth?
Om Shanti. Rebirth is a fascinating subject, and there have been books written about it by a man called Ian Stevenson, a professor from the US who studied lots and lots of cases where children were talking about past births. And from his investigations, he found that 99% of them were very accurate. 1% there was a little bit of a mixture, but 99% when children spoke about past birth experiences, they were pretty accurate. They could be verified by historical records or even current times. So what we've understood from spiritual teachings is that when the soul leaves the body, it immediately goes and enters a mother's womb where there's a baby fetus waiting for it. And that's the moment that the mother then feels what they call the quickening. She feels life in the body. And after that, of course, the gradual development and so on. But the soul goes very quickly into its new home. It carries with itself everything of the past, good karma, bad karma, in the form of its recording within the soul. Good karma, and you see a child born in circumstances that are very favorable, and yet you also see a child born with difficulties, disabilities, a situation of no love, a situation of poverty, of hunger, no possibility of education. So all of these things are not happening by chance. It's happening because there's a reason for it. And so the karma of the past, good plus bad, gets carried with the soul. And bad not just in terms of circumstances of favor or misfortune, but also the habits that we've created in the past. I didn't give attention to my anger, and so that sanskar of anger, sanskar, the imprint, so that sanskar of anger is visible in the child even from its very moment of birth. When a child is born, the baby is put a bracelet, a tag, so that the parents and the nurses can all identify which baby this is. The features are not yet very clear. It's crumpled like a prune. But the personality becomes visible within the first few hours. And so the nurses would say, this is the smiling baby, this is the angry baby, this is the upset baby, the crying baby. They'd have all these labels depending on what they're seeing with the child. They're not emotionally involved and they don't have any karma with the child, but they can observe all of this. There was somebody I heard about and they showed photographs of that person and they said, this is the grumbling baby. And it wasn't from the moment of birth, but from the face. Maybe the child was a few months old. It literally, the face showed that person was a grumbling soul. And later on throughout his life, he's now in his 60s, I think. But grumbling babies also. So the soul carries it all with itself. This is what determines where it takes birth. It determines who it takes birth to. So all of this is not by chance. Then you see the stars in the sky. You know, people thought it was by chance. But you realize with study of astronomy, it's not by chance. Everything's in a perfect place at the right time. And the movement of the planets can be predicted. They're moving according to a specific pattern. All of this. So certainly the whole subject of life and death and birth isn't random. It's very specific and it happens because of karma. The soul of Brahma Baba, while he was here, was able to do so much good karma, so much yoga, that it settled all its karma and it was only filled with good karma. And this soul hasn't taken rebirth. The trans messenger through whom Brahma Baba spoke to us, but she also then had many different visions and came back and shared those as messages. And in one of those messages, she saw the whole cycle moving slowly, very slowly, new souls coming, adding to the population on the earth. And at a certain time, one soul, only one soul, leaving the circle, the cycle, and going to the subtle region. And just as God isn't part of the cycle of birth and rebirth, this soul is part of the cycle of birth and rebirth before this period of the confluence age, when his role is to establish with God the new age, the golden age. That part is still being played out through the subtle form, the angelic form. So this is what we've understood.
And sister, why some souls remember their past and others don't?
In childhood, many, many children say many, many things that parents dismiss and say, your imagination. But in the West, generally, where there isn't an acceptance of rebirth, then definitely the parents will say, oh, you know, this is fantasy, don't talk about this, or you're dreaming, something like that. Whereas in the East, when a child speaks about things of memories from the past or whatever, or they'll give their parents very specific directions. I want you to take me to such and such a place. And the parents go there and the child recognizes whoever, whatever. And then the people there relate the story. And it turns out to be true. What the child is saying and what these people are saying all match together. The dates match, the date of the child's birth matches, it all comes together. And so in India they take it seriously, in other parts of the East also. The benefit of forgetting is a blessing, because here we are trying to forgive and forget the things that have happened this morning, yesterday, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, so that we can be free and we can move on. And in this case, where usually it's trauma, there's some sort of trauma that's been involved. So a memory is a very deep one, and even death hasn't been able to erase that memory. And so it's not healthy to remember the things of past births because it creates confusion. When I was sharing the story of a child being taken somewhere and everything matches up, this child spoke of having been killed by someone and they didn't know who, but they took them to this place and there's a woman there and the child says, "This is my wife." Now, can you imagine the upheaval in the family? Here's this little child and saying, "This is my wife." Now, what is the expectation of the child? The woman who's been trying to deal with the trauma of her husband dying, and that the husband had been murdered. And the child remembered the shop where he had been taking care of the shop, and this murder had happened, but he didn't know who. Thankfully, otherwise he'd start looking for that person. Can you imagine the complications that would be created? So the blessing of death is that we forget. And of course, it's traumatic for the soul, leaving one body, finding itself in a little confined space, and thankfully it's removed. Sometimes when a child is born, there are still some memories that stay, but the child's not able to communicate those. I remember parents coming with two little kiddies. One child was maybe 3 years old, and the other child was in the mother's arms, maybe 6, 7 months old. And they'd both come for morning class, and they'd bring their children. The eldest one would go to sleep. The mother would sit at the back and the 3-year-old would just go to sleep with her head on the pillow. The mother would arrange that and she'd be sleeping her way through the class, which was fine. No disturbance for anyone. And the little one in the arms would sometimes be smiling, sometimes be crying. And so the mother asked Daddy. Daddy was taking London class every day at that point. She was living there. And so she said, "What's going on?" And Daddy explained that when there are good memories that are coming to the child smiles. And when there are memories that are not so nice, then the child is crying. But gradually even those memories fade as the new memories start building up. The relationship with the parents and the siblings and a whole different scene. So after a short time, usually things get forgotten.
Interesting. Very interesting. Thank you. In Arabic, sister, we call it ni'mat al-nasyan, means forgetting is a big blessing of God. So they call it like that. So the other set of questions, the first one, the passage from diamond to golden age, that is going to come, means the death of bodies. So, passing from the diamond age to the golden age, does it mean the death of bodies?
The death of?
Death of bodies. So, the bodies all will become dead.
Okay.
And the other?
Sorry.
It's like a set of three questions. I think they are very close to each other. So the second question says, how to know your soul's purpose and if it is your last birth?
Not clear.
How to know your soul's purpose? So are you going to do something or this is your last birth? And the third one, how can I close my karmic account? What things can I do? How can I identify? Is it from the past, present, or is it from me or my parent?
When Brahma Baba had this vision of the trauma, the breakdown of everything in society which we are witnessing today, the political system, the family system, the religious system, the economy, the environment, everything's in a state of breakdown. And now how do you put it right? People keep trying, but we haven't really been able to find a way. And then the natural disasters, and as a result of the disasters, all the souls flying home. Bodies don't fly, not even with yoga, but the souls will fly home. The bodies will be left behind here, which is a very powerful reason why we need to practice soul detached from the body, so that we can leave very quickly without experiencing too much suffering. So souls will go home, and the whole of the planet will go through upheaval, through all the different elements. And then, when things get settled, then the first souls come down to the Golden Age, and more come down according to their level of purity. And once they're here, they continue to go through their birth and death and rebirth cycle. And so this is how the story works out. Generally, we don't know our purpose, and we're just content to live our life in a very mundane way, just normal, ordinary, and we'll say that's fine. But there are some people who feel they have a purpose, and they follow that purpose through. Usually it's something to do with serving others. That's when you use that term purpose, whether serving others through education, through health, through some form of leadership, whatever. But for most people, when they come to spirituality and they start practicing meditation and feeding the mind spiritual ideas, there's a change, and you begin to see that your life mustn't just be for yourself, but your life must be to be able to serve others and help others. And so through meditation and more spiritual understanding, you gradually discover your purpose, generally speaking.
And how to know that this is my last birth?
Whatever is coming to me now, I don't know whether it's past birth or whether here's somebody who's getting angry with me and I'm getting upset. Well, not only is it a settlement of past birth, but my reaction of getting upset and through that speaking badly of that person, carrying bad memories, changing the quality of my behavior with that person, I'm also creating more karma now. If a person gets angry and I keep myself protected under the canopy of God's light and I make sure I don't react, I'm settling karma, I'm not creating more karma. But why the cycle moves from the Copper Age to the Iron Age is because there's not just action, but there's reaction. And when there's action and reaction, where does it stop? It doesn't. It just multiplies. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger, which is why we see so many tragic things happen at the end of the cycle in Kali Yuga now. Really horrific stories of individuals or even communities and nations. So it's the accumulation of past karma that's coming to us because we just kept reacting, reacting, reacting. Now, at this moment, I have to learn not to react. Whatever is the condition of the other person, whatever is the situation, can I keep a stable stage of awareness, of peace, of love, of truth? Then I'm settling karma. Otherwise, I'm not settling. So one is to settle karma through my behavior. The second is to settle karma with the power of yoga. If it's just going to be action, reaction in the confluence age, the transition period between the old and the new, how many lifetimes is it going to take to settle and settle and settle? We'd never be able to do it. But the blessing of the confluence age is the power of God's love and our remembrance of God creates that energy in which the account of the past is settled and the imprint that I carry is changed. So the imprint that I had was of being critical, of being upset, of getting angry myself. Well, all these imprints change, and that's how I know I'm moving forward. If my reactions today are the same as they were a year ago, 5 years ago, I haven't done enough yoga. I haven't done what I should be doing. And so both with deep understanding, but also the power of yoga, the fire of yoga, through that I settle. Then the third way that I settle is finally at the end, in terms of the Supreme Judge, in which there's intense realization of what I should have done, what I could have done, but I didn't. So three ways. So the sweetest way is yoga. Not the pain, but maintaining stability, yes, that'll settle. But also then the yoga, and then thirdly, in front of the Supreme Judge. But the other thing that we have to do now is not just clear our account of the past. There's another job. Can I do so much good karma that I carry enough good karma so that it's going to last me through the cycle till the end of my time here? And on a general level, I know that everybody goes through ups and downs, and there's always something that is not pleasant or tragic. But generally speaking, the people who are here now, you have health, you have a comfortable life, you have good relationships, generally speaking. And so there's all the other things that are being settled, but generally all of this. So how can I ensure that for the next cycle I have done enough good karma so that it lasts me not only for the golden age and silver age, but even beyond that? And doing good karma means doing karma that's going to bring souls closer to God, which is very big. It can be my thoughts, my words, my actions. It can be my mind, my body, my wealth, my resources. Good karma is very, very open. But whatever it is I do out of selfishness, then that's not good karma. Motive is a big factor in terms of good karma. I give and I expect my name to be up in lights. Well, that's not good karma. That was for my glory. That's not good karma. But I give, and I give incognito for a good cause, bringing souls closer to God. Words, actions, thoughts, relationships. There's many ways to bring souls closer to God.
Thank you very much. Sister, I have 3 questions. All of them are wonderful. And we have 10 minutes, so I will read the questions. And so the first question, why does the soul have to go through the life cycle? I don't want to go through the cycle. I want to stay in the soul world with God and stay in there forever without coming back to the cycle. While we are repeating the same life cycle, same mistakes, and we are not getting better. So why this endless repetition? And this, shall I read that 3 questions? Or they are not very much connected.
Okay, then let me take this one because it's an important one. The practice of soul consciousness, deep soul consciousness, not just thinking I'm a soul, but going into that deep inner silence in which you can feel I am a soul. In that stage, if you keep practicing that, you'll get to the point, not years and years, but sufficient practice, you get to the point where you experience the eternity of the soul. No beginning, no end. I am eternal. immortal. Once you've experienced that eternity, then you also understand that the entire experience of the soul through eternity is recorded in the soul. And so, whatever is my role, I come into the cycle and I experience that part being played out. And so, you experience how there is never a beginning, there is never an end. The soul goes through the eternal cycle. And it's beautiful. The soul world, if you want just peace, fine. You'll get that. If you want to be there forever and ever, well, then it's like there's no part. Then you wouldn't be here now. But you've been there, and now you're playing your part here. And so there'll come a time when, whether it's early in the cycle or later in the cycle, but it'll come. But yes, there are many souls who stay up there for a long, long time and gradually come down. If you see the world population figures, up until 1900, the population growth is very, very slow. But it's from 1900 that it then shoots up. And that's what we've seen, that Satyug, the golden age, maximum purity, minimum population. And the population keeps growing. But the end of the Iron Age, maximum population and minimum purity. And so yes, souls who stay up there, it's fine. They have peace, but they don't even actually have that experience of peace. The soul up there is simply inert. No experience. Today, through meditation, when I let myself go to that home, that world of light, I have an experience. But when I go there, when everybody goes home, and all I want is peace, fine, be there. God doesn't say, do this, don't do this. God gives us big options. Choose what it is you would like. But you can't escape from the cycle. But yes, coming for one birth, a few births, it doesn't seem very useful. You come and you go and there's nothing much achieved.
Sister, why it's difficult for some souls to accept or understand that God comes to a human body? Why it's difficult for some souls to understand and accept that God comes into a human body and talks with us?
You don't have to accept it. You've heard the story. Let it sit with you. But ask yourself the question, where is all this information coming from? It came from one man. Nobody else knew any of these things before 90 years ago. It came from one man. Where did he get it from? He didn't get it from a guru. He didn't get it from scriptures. It's not there. I've been exposed to interfaith gatherings for 50 plus years now. So I haven't studied other religions, but I've been exposed to all the other religions, discussions and engagement and lots of conversations. So it's a fact. We haven't been given clarity about the information about soul. We haven't been given clarity about the information of God. We haven't been given clarity about the information of this transition period. Who, what, how, where? Who told us? Nobody. So where are we getting this from? It came from this one man, but he didn't know it. For myself, the other experience that I've had, going to London, the only other person who was a yogi there was my mother, and I had a sweet relationship with her, but I didn't see her as my teacher. And so I don't know how many, but I do know that she must have taught me a lot. I have to say that she must have taught me a lot as I was growing up. But it wasn't that I'd go to her with a question and say, okay, tell me, what's the answer to this? That, I went to Dadi Janki. I was lucky that I had a direct connection with her. And I saw how there was no center in London. And then suddenly, a tiny little center, literally tiny. And from that tiny little center, Dadi Janki arrives. They get a house, which is a pleasant house next door. And from there we get another house, which is big and very nice. And from there we get Global Corporation House, which has an auditorium of 700. And from there we get Global Retreat Center. And how did all this happen? It did not happen through Dadi's planning. She came to London with two missions. When she met with Baba, this is 1974 April, and I was with her in that little, now the room has been extended, but it was a very tiny little Baba's room. And in that tiny little Baba's room, the same process that I've mentioned, Baba came in that same chariot, Dadi Gulzar, spoke to her, and she said, what will I do in London? I don't know English. And Baba said, that's not a big deal. You'll get a translator. But also then, what will I do? Baba said to her, create a model of Madhuban. And that was in her mind. A tiny little place where she first arrived. And her aim was the vibrations. She didn't think she was going to create a big house. She thought, I have to create the timetable of Madhuban. I have to create the vibrations of Madhuban. I have to give people the feeling of Madhuban, which she did. And many of our world teachers were born there, spiritual birth. And the second thing he said to her was, share with people the experience of silence. And she did that. And people would have drishti, or they'd just be sitting in meditation, and they would understand so many things that can't be explained. So Shiv Baba, the Supreme, coming in the body of Brahma Baba, listen to the knowledge, hear the stories of others, but thirdly, as you continue with your own experiment in silence, experiencing the soul, experiencing God, things that can't be explained on an external level will become clear to you, like the eternity of the cycle, like Shiv Baba, Brahma Baba.
One last question. Many prophets came to the world to bring God's words, like Jesus. Do you think only Brahma Baba is bringing the truth? Or each prophet is bringing percentage of the truth based on their human brain's interpretations? How Brahma Baba knows it is Shiva who is speaking through him?
Brahma Baba himself didn't know. He was shocked. He was surprised. What's going on? Here's a man who's happy with his family, his life, his career. He has respect for the community. And he sees everything go away. Now, that was not what he wanted. It wasn't what he expected. But he was just seeing the developments, and he was understanding things that he did not know before. If you look at the picture of the tree, and I know that that topic has been taken up, one seed, one trunk, and many branches. The trunk, that place where we are together in harmony and unity, whatever background we come from, doesn't matter, whichever country, religion, we followed a certain code of conduct, of purity, of meditation, of spirituality, of good karma that brings us there. So there's that. Then, at a time when the fall happens, then you have messengers coming. And the messengers are carrying truth. Abraham comes, there's the connection with the seed and the truth. Buddha comes, there's the connection with the seed, and he talks about the path of nobility, the eightfold path, the middle path. There's a seed of truth there from the seed. Jesus comes and says, but all of you have been getting into idol worship. Moses comes and there's the awareness of idol worship that's happening in some parts of the world, and so rejection of that. But the law takes over from the love. And so Jesus comes to remind people that God is a being of love, not just of the law. But again, people get caught up within the messenger. So Muhammad comes, and again, the message, one God, no human worship, no human adoration. And on the other side, you get the sannyasis who come, and there's so much mixed information about God, and different people are giving different ideas, and the tree is growing. These branches carry the truth within them, and so they support civilization and humanity for a few thousand years, according to the time that they come. But at this moment of time, if you see the whole tree, it's decayed, and every branch has broken into many, many little twigs. How many branches are there of Buddhism? How many branches are there of Islam? How many branches are there of Christianity? And so now we're at the extension of the tree, the expansion, and the connection with the seed is no more. And so there's a decay all over the tree, which is why the seed again comes to inform us of the truth and explains the whole truth. Not just a bit here, a bit here, a bit here. They carry the truth, but it's partial. It's not the whole picture. Now, that's my understanding and my explanation. You don't have to believe it. What you do understand, you carry that with you and you practice it if it makes sense to you. And as you practice it, gradually other things will fall into place.
Thank you very much, Sister Jayanti. Maybe we can have 2 minutes meditation because it's already 7:05, and then we will have Tony and blessing.